You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The third round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grab each day. The best part? It's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pool page to get your free shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hello and good day, San Jose. Welcome to the Stick Hungry Podcast, your home of the San Jose Sharks on the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Floor. I am still sweating. Joining me today, we have Dylan Kayser and producer Pigeon. Dylan, how you doing?
Nick, you'll be happy to know that I'm still drinking a watermelon Red Bull. All these weeks later.
There's a six-pack in the fridge.
There's a six-pack in the fridge.
I like to enjoy my Red Bull slowly over the course of multiple weeks.
really nursing it.
By the way, boys, I got a special intro song for this particular player review that you're doing today.
Oh, okay. I'm very interested.
So, well, Nick, I'll let you tee it up first, then I'll play this for you guys.
Before we get into it, let's tell everyone where we're at. You can find me on Twitter at @NickFloor_. You can follow the podcast at @StickHungryPod. And you can follow the network at HockeyPodNet. Dylan.
You can physically find me in the Pigeonhole studio. You can also find me on Twitter at @DYL_THPN.
@Producer_Pigeon.
Pigeon. All right. Today, lined up, we have everyone's favorite defensive defenseman, Mark Edward Vlasic.
People are talking about the great taste of Vlasic pickles like never before.
Here, my dear, try a Vlasic pickle. Why, thank you, dear. Now that's the best Edson pickle I ever heard. Hey, Jimmy, want a trade?
Sure.
Want a Vlasic pickle?
Okay.
Now that's the best tasting pickle I ever heard.
Vlasic pickles. Try them and you might say.
Now that might be the best tasting pickle that they've ever had, but this was not the best tasting pickle that we've ever had here for the San Jose Sharks.
The pickle's gone bad. The pickle's gone sour, folks.
The brine was fucked. Just looking at Mark Edward Vlasic, a.k.a. Pickles, a.k.a. Vlasic, a.k.a. defensive liability.
The best damn pickle you ever have.
We got him for 5 more years at $7 million per season. Hot damn, he made out like a bandit. 5 points. Was that 6? I can't read right now. I think that's 6 points. Yes.
6 points.
6 points.
1 goal, 5 assists.
In 51 games.
It's absolutely fantastic season. He was on pace. You know, this was a full 82-game season. 10 points, double digits, baby.
Worst tracking of his life, by the way. That even compares to his 12.82 game like pacing back in the 2012-2013 season.
Yeah.
So hot damn. Vlasic, get your shit together, okay? We're going to need to talk about this. There's no way the Sharks buy him out.
We'll get into that in a second. I just want to note something on the stat sheet here quickly. In the 2019-2020 season, his time on ice was averaged to be 20 minutes and 18 seconds. The year before, 21 minutes. The year before, 22 minutes. The year before, 21. So he was, on average, a 20 to 22-minute defenseman. This year, he's dropped down to 17. I think that shows that he is not the top four defenseman that we're used to seeing, and he's slowly going to become a bottom-pairing D-man. And, Nick, like you mentioned, we're going to be paying a bottom-pairing defenseman $7 million.
Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous. And like Isha kind of alluded to, the Sharks can't afford the buyout. I have the buyout cost calculator here, courtesy of Cap Friendly. Go to capfriendly.com. You can see all the fun tools on how you can get, you know, Vlasic or Martin Jones off the books, and then just see how much money we'll have to spend on an actual good fucking team. But, I mean, you're talking about paying this man up until the 2030-2031 season. It's not feasible. It's just impossible to do.
And how much would we be paying him until 2031?
Based on what I'm seeing here, the buyout cost for the first year for the cap hit is only 1.5 mil, but it increases to what I believe is 2.8, and then another 1.5, and then you start getting into the real fucking kickers, the 4.3. I believe that's 5.3. So that would be until of what his contract would be.
Yeah, so that would be the 2025-2026 season. The cap it for the buyout would be 5.3. And then after that, every year after that until 2031, it would be 1.8, which is still a substantial amount of money. That 1.8, you can get a pretty good third liner for that.
Yeah, we would be paying him to not be a third liner at all.
Honestly. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
And so, he's gone on record to say that he is not going to waive his NMC to go to Seattle.
Even though he had it.
Yeah, I still think that's bullshit.
Yeah, I think it was bullshit too, but it's still pretty funny. Pretty funny that he even brought that up.
Yeah. But yeah, just to kind of circle back to statistics on the year, 7 seconds of power play time on ice for the entirety of the year, which was probably an all-time high. Just kidding, it's not an all-time high. And for those of you who are probably thinking, but Nick, he's a shutdown defenseman. Like, well, he's not going to do a lot of offensive stats, right? It's his job to shut people down. Well, you're right. Congratulations. Except for the part in 2016 when he had 39 points for a 48 point and an 82 game pace. And then the following year, 28. And then the following year, 32. And then the following year, 25. So it's not like he's unfamiliar with getting in on the action, you know?
And I'm sorry, like Mark Edward Vlasic, I don't think he's ever been considered a shutdown guy. He's always been a good two-way defenseman. That's what Mark Edward Vlasic was, a guy that can contribute on offense, but is very stable on defense. He's not known as a guy that, you know, around the league, all the top guys are, you know, always going to be matched up against Vlasic, and they know this is one of the toughest guys. That's not Vlasic. He's just a good overall defenseman. Yes.
Yeah. Well, like, he used to be with Justin Braun.
He's been on Team Canada Olympics teams. For the reason that they scouted and built that team, inviting him to join them, was because they had those defensive guys first and they had some of those offensive guys. He was one of those players who was going to do both and round out that defensive core.
And the thing is, you know, at points in his career, yes, he could be the shutdown guy, but I don't think that was ever, you know, the highlight of his game or the main point of his game. So I think as he gets older, you're going to lose some of that. And I just don't think he can be a shutdown guy, especially with the speed that the game's at. That's just what it comes down to, the speed.
Yeah, back when him and Justin Braun were duoing essentially what we considered to be the shutdown defensive pairing for the Sharks.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about just pure stick-on-puck type of shutdown. We're talking about full defensive shutdown as well. He could not only do a controlled exit, he could do a controlled entry. He was so good at being two-way, and Justin Braun backed him up so well the last couple of years, but when they played together, they had established such a great rapport. I think the biggest thing that I'm looking at over the last two seasons, which may contribute in, you know, incrementally, it could contribute in significantly higher than what I'm assuming, but if you look, he only blocked 64 shots in 51 games. That's bad.
Yeah, that is bad.
Prior, 97. Prior to that, 114. The 2017-2018 season, he had 174 blocks. He's just not giving up the body anymore. And that, I mean, that in and of itself can contribute immensely. Look at what Alec Martinez is doing for the Vegas Golden Knights. He is probably a better goaltender than Marc-Andre Fleury.
Than Martin Jones. Oh, I thought you'd go in the Martin Jones route, but okay.
But yeah, no, that was honestly a joke. But I mean, honestly, Martin Jones, I mean, there's a real fucking...
there's a real conversation here.
But I mean, the shot blocking, the ability to prevent the puck from even getting to your netminder is such a huge kind of like, skill that is so underrated in defensemen. that few people look at and they're like, hot fucking damn, dude, he is doing a hell of a job. And that's something that has disappeared from Mark Edward Vlasic's game. He's almost getting away, like getting out of the way of the puck. It's like he got that money and I'm out.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, you know, you just look at the numbers, look at the pure numbers. If a guy like him is blocking 150 shots a year, and most guys' shooting percentage is probably like 7-8%, that means from just his shot blocking, he's probably stopping 12, 13, 14 goals. I mean, that can change games, you know, that can be the difference in, you know, 5 or 6 games throughout the season, which can turn out to be the difference of 10 points, you know, in the regular season, which can make the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. So I think it's very underrated, you know, that skill, because not a lot of guys like sacrificing the body anymore. So it is kind of disappearing from the game a little bit.
Yeah. Just kind of moving into, we already talked about his buyout costs. We already talked about his outlandishly albatross-esque contract that we're going to have to be dealing with for the next 5 years. Just taking a look at his quote-unquote buy-sell meter. These are more offensively focused stats, which I don't think will tell the whole story on Mark Edward Vlasic. I think you're going to have to be looking at like expected, you know, goals against, 5-on-5 expected goals against, all, as well as like Corsi for and Corsi against. And a lot of that stuff shows up, especially with the eye test, just how much of a liability he turned into his own zone and his inability to really transition out of his own zone or clear pucks. But it's really difficult to kind of document that as a stat unless you're just taking a look at how bad his play has been, what the coach has essentially demoted him to, and that is that third line ice time with what was essentially a revolving door on that third line, because the top four were essentially buttoned up thanks to Knyazhov's elevated play. But the first category, we have a shooting percentage of 2.7%, which from what I'm seeing here, slightly lower than expected. And, you know, we talked about him being that two-way player, so maybe you expect that to be a little bit higher, or, you know, because it's lower than what's expected of him going into at least this year. So maybe it's the money, maybe it's his previous year's points, but it just wasn't as good. Next stat, we looked at 5-on-5 shooting percentage, which was normal on, you know, in line for what's supposed to be. Again, this isn't going to tell the entire story. It's at 7.2%. And then the biggest hit, which obviously we've seen here, points per 60 at 0.4, which was bottom of the barrel.
That is just god awful.
Yeah, values much lower than expected, and in my opinion, and obviously the coaching staff's opinion, much lower than what is tolerated. That's why he got that demotion. And I like on the Dauber Sports website, it says it's a buy low opportunity, but there's no such thing as buy low with Vlasic, because we would have to pay somebody a lot of fucking money to get his ass off the books, and then he would have to be okay with doing it. But again, this next stat's funny. I want you to say this next stat because of the shade of red I'm looking at here.
Yeah, so secondary assist percentage was 60%, which is higher than normal.
Significantly higher than normal.
Significantly, yes. I forgot that key word. So, yes, more secondary assist than normal. I don't know what you can really take away from that.
So
I don't think much, to be honest.
Yeah, I think what that is like of the 6 points that he had, right? Of the 5 assists that he had, let's do the math here.
60% of those were secondary.
So
let's say 3 or, yeah.
Yeah, the point value, it is 3. So he had 3 assists to secondary assists there. So the point value, it may look red. Yeah. Red is good in this meter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it looked, oh my God, he had a 60% secondary assist percentage. He's fucking in the shits. No, that's 3 assists.
Yeah.
It's 3.
I know, it is pretty pathetic when you really break it down. That's like hilarious. That. Like, this guy was only actually contributing to 6 goals out of the entire season. It's incredible.
Just so much expectations going into this season with an extended offseason for the Sharks.
Yeah.
A get well soon offseason. All right, last year was maybe a fluke. Let's rebuild it, or don't say that word. You're gonna trigger Doug Wilson. I'm sorry, Doug. Please don't shoot me. But no. let's fucking revamp it, right? Let's get back to where we were. That was just a fluke off season, or that was just a fluke season. COVID, blah, 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 blah. And then you go in and then this happens. It's like, okay, now what do you do? Do you hope again that you can build around your core? I put in air quotes there. You build around this core. I mean, this core is like the core in Chernobyl. That's a video clip. It's a fucking Chernobyl core. This is a reactor core that's just dog shit, okay? And the proof is in the pudding. It's a bottom five team, or technically bottom six team, number six, in the NHL. You know, we're picking seventh overall for a reason. We got third overall last year for a reason. So at what point is Vlasic actually going to take responsibility and turn his shit around? Or is he going to be the guy that just calls it a day because he's making $7 million a year? And there's not, you know, he already got the worst emotion you could get other than being Tomas Tatar and watching from the press box. So,
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I just think like he's just lost it. I mean, some guys lose their legs. They lose it earlier than others. And I think Vlasic, I mean, I think his time has come up sooner than he expected, than Doug Wilson expected. Obviously, if you're looking at the length of the contract, much sooner than Doug Wilson expected. And it's very unfortunate. Yeah. And, you know, even for a guy like Vlasic, like, yeah, you know, the guy's getting millions of dollars, whatever. It does kind of suck in some ways for him too, because he's probably still going out there and really trying and giving his all, and he just can't get the results. And that's really frustrating for a player.
You just see him and he's just like bent over, just huffing and puffing like, ah, fucking kids are so fast. Ooh, just like, hot damn, dude.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it at this point for Vlasic. Yeah.
So in what realistic scenario could you guys back me up on the possibility of him being sent to Seattle with some assets? Obviously he has to agree with it, but maybe to get out of this, just do I even say like depressing scenario where he's not doing well in San Jose, Seattle's not expected to do anything in the next coming years. Do you think maybe just for, didn't he play, correct me if I'm wrong, Didn't he play in the WHL or something like that and have some sort of connection to Seattle? I could be wrong. Maybe that's Marlowe I'm thinking of. But anyways,
yeah.
Do you think that's a possibility? And do you think it helps the Sharks long term, even if they had to give away an asset in this expansion draft?
100% it would help the Sharks long term. The problem is, I just don't see a team taking it on, because here's the thing. It's not a 2-3 year contract. This ain't Louis Erickson we're talking about. He's only got 3 years left. This is Vlasic, where he's got 5 years left. And I mean, even if you're a Seattle team looking to do a rebuild, you're hoping by year 4 or 5 that, you know, you're gonna, you know, start making moves, that you're gonna have some money where you can go sign free agents. Now all of a sudden, if you got this, you know, massive pickle jar fucking weighing you down, $7 million, you can't do that and you can't move forward. So I don't even think that, you know, the assets that we could give up would be worth it to any team to bring on that contract.
Here's the problem. As much as I would love that to happen, I don't think the Sharks have the assets to give up.
True. Yeah,
because you, in my opinion, you said it'll help the Sharks long term. I think it would actually impact them more in the short term than they would in the long term. You're going into a buyer's market in this offseason, right? And we talked about it before. You remove Vlasic, you're in contention for Philip Grubauer instantly.
Yeah.
That $7 million is off the books. The only way Vlasic goes to, I mean, if we're just checking off the boxes, let's assume hypothetically, Isha, that he says, okay, fine, I'll go to Seattle. You're breaking my balls here, but I'll do it, right? So I think from Seattle's perspective, you at least want the Sharks to retain two of the $7 million every single year, right? Which is still technically better than a buyout. So I'm okay with that. But then you don't have a second round pick this year that you can entice them with. If you're able to trade back, let's say you can trade back from 7 and get a first and a second, I think that's the bare minimum you have to give up to offload that contract.
Well,
you have to.
What about throwing in a Mario Ferraro, Rudolph Balcers, and
some picks?
That's where
it hurts them in the long term.
Yeah, but let's be honest, are these guys going to be superstars? Like,
no,
you know,
but, I mean, for
a bottom six or a bottom, or maybe a mid pairing guy. Like, I know you want to build around whatever young assets you have, but do you think one of those two and a couple picks, maybe retaining $2 million, wouldn't that get it done?
I think that would get it done. I would not want to give up Mario Ferraro. I would much rather give up someone who's more of a prospect that isn't established in the system.
He's 21. That's one of the youngest guys, man. He's one of the youngest guys, though. That's the thing.
I know, but the problem is he's one of the only young defensemen that we can actually count on moving forward.
It sucks that he's a defenseman. I have Hockey DB up here, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, if he was a forward, you know, if there was a forward around his age who had that type of production, that would be the piece you give up on. Obviously, Nick, you don't want to give up on him, but or you don't want to give him up. But you said it there. I'm going through the roster. I'm like, shit, like there's nothing that they could even pile in that trade. Really?
No, and that's
why.
What if
they find a way to replace Mario Ferraro with a Ryan Merkley?
Sure, if it works out like that.
Or Ryan Merkley in the deal. You know?
If you take Ferraro out, put Merkley in, and maybe give him a better forward prospect, you know, that isn't Rudolph Spolsters. Because in my opinion, you could probably find a better forward prospect than Rudolph Spolsters to throw in there.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Honestly, even someone from this year's draft class, from the previous year's draft class, I know you're thinking of like instant, like, I don't want to say like changers for
them. I'm just giving the Vegas example because Vegas had a lot of those who just stepped in and played. But by all means, whoever has the value is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. And honestly, if it's possible, I'm down with doing it because you're helping them in the short term because you're getting all that much more off the books. But in my opinion, if you start digging into your guys like Ferraro, who in my opinion is going to be the captain of this team within the next 3 to 5 years, if I'm being completely honest. This guy shows everything in the locker room. He's got everything on the ice. He's got all the intangibles and all the personality that you want. And even Curtis Gabriel came on and talked about it, where Ferraro's just that guy. He just radiates the positive energy. You don't want to give something like that up. You gave that up with Joe Pavelski years ago and see what it's done to your team. Like, if you can find a way to offload that contract, giving up two, like a first and a second, retaining $2 million and giving up two guys, that would help the team long term. And I'm down for it. I just would not want to lose a Ferraro at all.
Yeah, I think either way, I mean, big decision from the San Jose Sharks, and they got to do something with this money.
There's no immediate pain relief. You know,
no, there really isn't. No, there isn't. Nick, let's get into our final report card for Vlasic's season. I mean, I think I might have been too nice here. I gave him a C- for this season. Nick, you were you're a little more harsh on old Pickles there.
Yeah, maybe it's expectation that goes along with my emotional attachment, but I gave him a D.
Gave him the D.
Got him!
I gave him a D on his report card because, goddamn, that could have been significantly better.
Goddamn, he needed it. I mean, I think I gave him a C- because I kind of, for the same reason that you gave, where my expectations were actually quite low. So I didn't expect a lot from Vlasic this year, and didn't get much from him either. So disappointing season overall. He showed up.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. Let us know. I think that pretty much wraps up today's episode for Mark Edward Vlasic. Again, we'd want to see more from him, especially like positively trending moving forward. But I don't expect that in the near future. Hopefully, like you said, we can find a way to get his ass to Seattle without having to give up too much. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up for today's episode. Let us know if you agree or disagree. Tweet at us at StickHungryPod. Make sure to give us a follow. You can follow me at @NickFloor_. You can follow the network at HockeyPodNet. Dylan?
You can follow myself at @DYL_THPN.
And you can follow myself at @Producer_Pigeon.
All right. Next player review we have in store for you guys on the next episode is everyone's favorite goaltender, Martin motherfucking Jones. Be on the lookout for that one next. Stay tuned. Have a great rest of your day.